Father, as we come today, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. And so today, Father, we just pray, help us to know what that means. And help us to know how that works out in our individual lives as believers and as members of the body of Christ on earth. And so, Father, today we know that your truth comes by revelation. First, by in the written word. And then as we read the written word, the revelation again of the meaning and of what it is that we're looking at and seeing. And so today we pray you would open our eyes, dear Lord. We pray you would give us spiritual vision. And we pray, Lord, that you would so open our hearts that if Jesus has been Lord in our lives up to this point in a limited way, he might now truly be Lord in every way. These things we ask in his holy name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I don't know why I chose this topic particularly for today, but it's what the Lord gave me. The Lord Jesus Christ. We say it very often, but do we know what we are saying? We may have been saved our whole lives. We may have been in church and Sunday school since we were just little things. But do we know what we are saying when we say the Lord Jesus Christ? We acknowledge him as Lord. We profess him as Lord. We do all of those things. But do we really know what we are saying when we say Jesus Christ is Lord? Now, I want to take just a couple minutes here to lay a little foundation, and then we're going to go into, because I have 10 points today, and you're probably hoping I won't spend very long on any one of them. But a little foundation here. As we read the New Testament scriptures, we find the terms Jesus Christ. We find the term Jesus by itself. We find the term Christ by itself. And we also find the term Christ Jesus inverted the other way. My attention was drawn to that as I read somebody's book recently, but it is absolutely true. Another interesting fact is that while Jesus Christ occurs all over the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not once is he called Christ Jesus in the Gospels. He is only called Christ Jesus beginning in the book of Acts and running through the Pauline epistles. Is there any meaning to the fact that in one case it's Jesus Christ? Well, let's look at the term. Jesus is Greek for Savior. Christ is Greek for the anointed one, which corresponds to Messiah in the Hebrew, which is the anointed one. And so, whereas Jesus has to do with him as Savior and has to do with him and his atoning work on Calvary and how he hung there on the cross for us, Christ speaks of him post-resurrection in its truest fulfillment. And in his exalted state as Lord. He is the anointed one. The Jews were not wrong that the Messiah had come to rule and reign. They were only wrong in their timing, not understanding that he came the first time to humble himself all the way to death, even death on a cross, that he might then be exalted to be Messiah and Lord. And so, he is my Savior by virtue of what he went through on that cross, but he is not on that cross any longer. Can I hear an amen on that? He's not even in the grave any longer. He is risen, and he is exalted to the right hand of God, and there he fulfills his full office as Christ, as Messiah, as Lord, the Anointed One. It occurred to me as I was doing this study, men crown kings, God anoints kings. And so when we say Christ, we are talking of him in his anointed state, both as priest, because priests were anointed, and as king, because kings were anointed. Before Saul could serve, he had to be anointed. Before David could serve, he had to be anointed. And we know what the oil represents, don't we? The Holy Spirit. Jesus is the anointed one. He is the ordained one. He is the designated one. And his destiny is to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, yes, he is my Savior. And one of my biggest fears in the evangelical community is that we will preach Jesus as Savior to the point that we neglect preaching him as Christ and Lord. And I believe that that actually has happened to some degree in the American church. And so, yes, he is all those things. And we're going to continue to preach salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we know him as Savior, then all of a sudden something interesting happens. He then becomes not only my Savior, but then he becomes my Lord. So if you're one of those who likes to follow along and do these notes, let's do that now. Just a few observations on this topic from these scriptures and others in the Word of God. Number one, just as there is only one Savior, so there's only one who could be because he was sinless, and there's only one who is because there's only one who has hung on the cross for us. Just as there is only one Savior, there is also only one Lord. And when we say the Lord, we mean that makes it exclusive. He alone is Lord. That brings us to point number two. If Jesus is really Lord, there is no room for any other Lord. There can only be one. He has no competition. All other lords are frauds. The lordship of Christ leaves no room for plurality. Today we have people saying, well, over here you have Jesus, and you over here you have Muhammad, and you over here you have Buddha, and they're trying to put them all. No, that's not the way it works. There is one who is Lord. Buddha will answer to him. Muhammad will answer to him. Confucius will answer to him. Every Far Eastern yogi will answer to him. Every New Age whatever will answer to him. Every single one of them will answer to him because he is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. There is only one. Number three, if Jesus is really Lord, and he is, then his power and authority are universal and absolute. And that's exactly what Jesus said just before he went to heaven. What did he say? And it's part of the Great Commission. And we go right over that, skip right over that, and get to the go part. All authority is given to me. And since there's only one higher than him, who did he get it from? The Father himself. All authority is given to who? To me. Right here. That's what Jesus said. All authority, but he was even more specific, in heaven and on earth, is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. He is Lord. And he is Lord of all. And right now we're preaching him, I guess, certainly to the lost, primarily as Savior. But He is Lord of all. And if we doubt that at all, just wait until he comes back and kicks all the bad guys out and puts his own people in. And we're going to find out who's Lord. But as Christians, we know him as Lord already. Number four. If Jesus is really Lord, then he is the primary authority in the life of a believer. And our allegiance and obedience should be undivided, absolute, uncompromised, and unwavering. His lordship has implications for every single detail of a believer's life. Let's go to number five. We may come back to some of these. You've probably heard this before. Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Number six, we come to know Jesus as Savior that we may know him as Lord. And he became our Savior that he might become our Lord. Through his death on the cross, he redeems us that he then might be our Lord and Master. So what does it look like if Jesus is Lord? Well, he's Lord. It means he's in charge. It means we serve him. It means our lives are not our own. It means that we have given up all of our rights and our privileges to him. It means that from the day that we are saved, ideally, he is calling all the shots. Do you like to take orders? The older I get, the better I like to take orders. Because I'm acting under somebody else's authority. And if anybody says anything, I say, well, just talk to the person that told me to do this. But he became our Savior that he might be our Lord. So yes, he's my Savior. And yes, he gave himself, he paid it all, he died on the cross for me. But why did he do that? So that he then might be Lord. Because he can't be my Lord until I'm saved. He can't be my Lord until I'm forgiven. He can't be my Lord until I'm cleansed. But once that happens, he is then Lord. And the whole thing of serving him is then learning about him and submitting to his lordship. Now back to number four. If Jesus is really Lord, then he is the primary authority in the life of a believer, and our allegiance and obedience should be undivided, absolute, uncompromised, and unwavering. His lordship has implications for every single detail of a believer's life. So if Jesus is really Lord of my life, does that have implications for every part of my life? What does it look like when Jesus is Lord, and I am actually acknowledging him as Lord and actually submitting to him as Lord? Let's move on to number seven. As believers, we must not only acknowledge Christ's lordship, we must actually live in submission to it. How many would admit that it's a lot easier to acknowledge Christ's lordship to say, yeah, he's Lord. Yeah, he's boss. Yeah, he's in charge of everything. How many would admit that's easier than actually submitting to his lordship? Have you ever had that battle? Have you ever had that battle where you know the Lord wants you to do something? You know it. But you don't want to do it. Or on the other hand, you know he doesn't approve, but you do want to do it. And when that happens, what's happening is that our old sinful nature is trying to get the upper hand again. Now, if I disobey, do I lose my salvation? No, I don't lose my salvation. He died for me. He died for my sin. But is that the way a believer is supposed to live? Huh? If my child disobeys me, are they still my child? But that isn't the way, ideally, that it should be. And so, if Jesus really is Lord, then we not only acknowledge him as Lord, but we submit to him as Lord. And we do so willingly, actually, at some point. We do so joyfully at some point. And our obedience will probably always be imperfect, if nothing else, just for lack of understanding or human frailty or whatever. But our basic desire is going to be living under his lordship in a day-to-day. So, is Jesus Lord of my time? Is he Lord of how I spend my time? And what I do with my day? Is he Lord of my relationships? Absolutely. But is he in practice? If I am living under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am going to befriend many unsaved people so that I may be a good example to them, so that I may minister them in some way, and hopefully at some point bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not going to be the ones I hang out with all the time, and they're certainly not the ones I'm going to be going to for advice and leaning on emotionally. Those are going to be people who know the Lord and love the Lord and are going to encourage me in my walk. Is the Lord Jesus, if he's really Lord, does he have any say-so about relationships? Does he have any say-so about career? He's gifted me a certain way, but even beyond that, does he at times want us at certain places? How many can say the Lord led me at a certain point, led me to a certain place, maybe even in career? Some of you can raise your hands up. I know I'm where I'm at by the will of the Lord. And yes, that's an area where we need to give it to him. It used to be a song, give it all to Jesus, right? Well, that's what lordship is. We're giving it all to Jesus. All of it. If I'm really walking under his lordship, I'm not going to be looking to foreign entities for advice and direction. What do I mean by that? I'm not going to be going to any fortune teller. Because I'm not going to be getting information about my life from somebody else other than my Lord. I'm not going to read a horoscope. Because I'm not going to go somewhere else looking for the meaning of life or looking for the direction of my life. I'm going to go to his word. I'm going to pray about it. You want to say ouch or amen? If he's really Lord, then the Lord, he's Lord of it all. It's not bondage. Paul writes and describes himself. He opens some of his books. He says, Paul, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Now, come on. Do you think that Paul hated every minute of his Christian life? Do you think that Paul woke up in the morning and said, oh, I got to do what Jesus wants me to do one more day? That isn't how it was. He's a love slave. He's a bond slave by his own will. He wouldn't leave. He's like Ruth with Naomi. I wouldn't leave you if you told me to go. You're my Lord. I'm sticking with you, Lord. You died for me. I'm your bond slave. I'm yours, line, hook, and sinker. Ray Westmoreland would like that. Verbiage. I'm yours. It's not drudgery. It's not slavery as we think of slavery. It's the greatest joy in the world. And every time my Lord is exalted, and every time my Lord gets a compliment, and every time my Lord's will prevails, what do? I rejoice. Because that's what lordship means. Number 8. Jesus Christ must be proclaimed as Lord. And that's what we do in the gospel. He must be acknowledged as Lord. That's what we do in our prayer life with Him. And demonstrated to be Lord by His followers. Do your friends and co-workers know by your choices, decisions, actions, attitudes? By the way, if He's Lord, is He Lord of your attitudes? Do they know by observing you that Jesus is Lord? Or do they just think you're a religious person that goes to church on Sunday? If that's all they think about you, something isn't right, and they're missing the point. Do they know? The only line I remember from Billy Graham's book, Peace with God, is what the worldly needs isn't more Christianity, but more actual Christians. Because a lot of people have never really seen one. They've seen people that call themselves Christians and live the other way. Now, come on. If you call yourself a Christian and you're living the other way, are you making a good impression for the gospel? Are you making a good impression for the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. And there's a lot of people out there that are still waiting to see what a real believer looks like. Let us be that person. Number 9. Most of our conflictedness as believers occurs because the lordship issue has not been fully resolved. A couple examples. We have our own plans. We have our own wants. We put them to the Lord in prayer. It doesn't happen. And then we get upset and we begin to question whether the Lord cares, whether the Lord hears us, whatever. And hey, our prayers are out of sync. James said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and have not because you ask amiss, that you may waste it on your fleshly desires. Bless you. And so, that's one scenario. Another scenario is things seem to be a little bit out of control. We're panicking. We're worrying. We're fretting. We're biting our nails. We have stomach cramps and stomach aches. We lay awake at night. That's because we haven't understood that Jesus is Lord and He's in control and He's going to take care of it. And therefore, we're not trusting Him. And therefore, we're conflicted. As a believer, because let me ask you this, if I'm walking with Jesus, I don't even have to be a preacher, Sunday school teacher. Let's say I'm 17 years old and I just accepted Jesus as Savior and I don't even know yet what it's all about. But I know Jesus is my Savior. I know Jesus is my Lord. Every day, the greatest desire of my heart is to please Him. I get up in the morning wanting to serve Him, looking for an opportunity to serve Him and glorify Him. I've given him my problems. I know he's going to take care of them. If I'm on the outs with anybody, I've gone and I've talked to him and I've gotten it straight. And everything is okay. Am I going to be conflicted? Even if life is a little tough at the moment. And the answer is no. The conflictedness does not come from the circumstance. Oh, my boss this, my husband that, my wife the other. Jesus is He's Lord. And that's all I have to know. I love Him. I trust Him. I serve Him. I yield to Him. I seek His will. I seek His direction. I don't always get it overnight, but I just keep praying and I keep waiting until He tells me. But I'm not conflicted. I may have a question here and there, and I certainly may be trying. We'll all be trying. But I'm not conflicted because I'm walking with my Lord. And 10, the shortest route to resolution of the lordship issue is called surrender. When our heart is totally His, the conflicts cease. Jesus is Lord. Very important to remember in the culture we're in, where everybody wants to be their own boss and nobody wants to take orders from anybody. Very important to know in today's world, when every time we turn on the TV or the news or the internet, it looks like things are just getting worse and worse. Am I right? There's never been a more important time for God's people to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then to live accordingly. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for a Lord, Jesus Christ, Savior, Anointed One, in that order. And then, as believers, that over time we come to know Him as Christ Jesus, as the Anointed One, who at one point in our life became our Savior. And so, Lord, today we pray that the Lord Jesus might really be Lord. As He said Himself, "Why do you call me Lord and then ignore what I tell you?" And Lord, that this would be much more than just a profession for us, that it would be our greatest heart's desire, and that it would be and become, at least, our way of life. We thank You for Jesus, who laid down His life for us. The least we can do now is offer us back under His eternal lordship. And thank You, Father, that our Lord Jesus, yes, He is Lord, but He is such a wonderful Lord. And He will never, He may allow us to go through some tough stuff, but He will never do anything that is not for our ultimate good and our ultimate edification. And even in the short term, the blessings are more than we can count or describe. thank you, Father. Help us to submit each day more to your Lordship, that we might be less and less conflicted as believers along life's way. Do your work in us, Lord. You who work salvation in us originally, you can do this other work in us as well. And that's what we ask today. And we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.